Welcome to the live webinar, PulsePoint Presents Take the Guesswork Out of Social Media Marketing, sponsored by, as the title suggests, PulsePoint, and powered by Retail Online Integration Magazine. I'm Alexis Henderson, Director of E-Learning for ROI, and I'm pleased to welcome you to today's event. Before we get started, let me point out a few quick tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, but you can send them in at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all of the widgets and bells and whistles on this console. And speaking of bells and whistles, please click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn what all of the other widgets on this console can do and how you can customize your experience today. We've got two fantastic speakers here today to discuss social media marketing. Michael McIntyre, also known as Mac, is a vice president with PulsePoint. In this role, he is responsible for ensuring that the company's Fortune 1000 brand advertising clients outperform their digital audience reach, engagement, and ROI goals across social, display, mobile, video, and email investments. In addition to helping clients to drive the most immediate results, Mac is also deeply committed to ensuring clients transform campaign and audience insights into better future results. His efforts are associated with millions of dollars in media spend that have resulted in over 300% ROI increases for a variety of category and vertical brand leaders. Prior to his role with PulsePoint, Mac served as vice president with Datran Media since 2004. Previous to that, he served in management roles with Experian and DoubleClick. Candace Marks is the senior product manager at PulsePoint. Candace continues the path of emerging technology in the PulsePoint Innovation Lab, tasked with a structured approach to innovation. She brings 10 years of innovation experience to the PulsePoint team. Prior to joining PulsePoint, Candace worked for Hachette Filipacki Media, where she had purview over the development and delivery of products conceived in the Looking Forward Lab. The lab was an innovation think tank for consumer engagement and content monetization on emerging platforms. Previously, Candace's passion for the evolution of media began at HBO, where she implemented a digital workflow and asset management system, leading the transition from analog to digital content distribution. With that, I'm going to give the floor to Candace and Mac.
Thanks, Alexis. Okay. So we're here to take the guesswork out of social media. Some questions that you may have today. What's my social marketing playbook? How can I better understand who's responding to my campaign? Can I find more audiences like my best responders? Yes, you can. Here's what you'll learn today. Best practices and tool sets to activate an integrated marketing plan. How to build rich profiles of who converted or engaged with your brand. And how to scale audience segments across paid and owned channels to amplify earned media. Let's begin with the 10,000-foot view from the top. We'll start with Poe. This is Edgar Allen, just joshing. Poe is an acronym that CMOs use to describe paid, owned, and earned media. Paid media, such as paid ads, search, and sponsorship, feed owned media, and create earned. It's in demand, and it scales. However, it has poor credibility with your consumers. In this example, Hugh Blow has purchased media against the New York Times. Owned media are the channels for which you have the keys to the kingdom, such as your website, mobile web, blog, Twitter. Some of the benefits of owned media channels are that it's great for CRM. There's lots of control, and you have access to niche pockets of audiences. One of the obstacles, however, is that it takes time to scale. It's not trusted by your consumers. And finally, earned media. the holy grail for marketers because consumers are the channel. Word of mouth, buzz, and viral are all words used to describe earned media. It's the most credible source, however, it's difficult to control. You'll see in this example Hublot's Facebook page and a piece of content that was shared by 129 users. Clearly, social has changed the game. Consumers have always controlled brand conversations, but today, earned communication is playing an increasingly important role in consumer choice of products and services. 4 out of 5 active internet users visit social networks. 53.5 billion minutes were spent on Facebook in May 2011 alone. And 53% of active social networkers follow a brand. It's a channel that's always on, and half of Facebook's consumers are connected to brands waiting to receive communication and content. Which leads us to the social purchase funnel. Consumer reviews are the preferred source for product information. The social purchase funnel is a re-envisioning of the traditional funnel, using connections as the new metric. It differs from the traditional funnel in the influence and engagement phases. Mentions by an influencer can be compared to a recommendation from a friend. So a consumer who's heard about your brand from an influencer moves a step down the purchase funnel. Similarly, at replies and shares are weighted more heavily than clicks. Again, social funnel metrics are measurements of connectedness. So how do we influence the influential? A recent Motista survey recently found that consumers who feel emotional connections to their retailers are 4 times more likely to shop those retailers first when relevant needs arise. Connected consumers are 50% more likely to talk about a brand with friends and family. Clearly, influencing the influential can develop a multiplier effect. You'll see here in this example that Facebook's new people talking about this metric is now apparent on your page alongside likes. So we've moved from nouns to verbs. It's no longer about consumers liking something. It's what they're doing with your brand content. They're sharing, they're posting, they're tagging photos, they're checking in, they're raising their hand to say, I'm here, and waiting for information to share with friends. So how do brands monitor and mobilize a self-recruited army? Let's walk through a playbook together. What you see here is a timeline of a Ford social media case study, but it can serve as a model for most programs. You'll notice 3 phases to a promotion timeline: pre-campaign, campaign, and post-campaign. Each phase presents an opportunity to connect with your influencers and amplify earned media or word-of-mouth marketing. Let's start with the pre-campaign. In the pre-campaign phase, beginning with your owned media channels, teasers and planned leaks can prime your influencers and prime that earned media. In this phase, site measurement, a form of pixeling a website, can reveal the audiences that are visiting various sections of your site. So leaks in Twitter and Facebook, photographs, videos can drive to your brand site. And then on your brand site, we can measure and get a sense of the texture of your audience. What you see here is pre-campaign site-level measurement. On screen is a cluster analysis of the traffic that's visited your site. You'll see that at a glance, we can understand age, education, household income, household composition, and occupation of your influencers to build a robust profile of your primary and secondary target audiences. During the campaign, insights gleaned from site measurement can inform your channel buys. You'll notice an orange arc of your planned ads, such as display, video, email, or social media, that push your content at scale, driving influencers to your own properties. At this point, you can make it easy for word-of-mouth sharing with one-click operations in your paid creatives. You'll also see a spike in your own media channel, where you can release additional content to amplify that curve in blue of earned media. During the campaign, we can also get a snapshot at the impression level and conversion URL. We can build verified audience profiles using 1,500 plus attributes that enable a complete profile of your prospect audience. So the audience profile that you've built pre-campaign can be vetted in display, social, email. Are you reaching the demographic, the behaviors, the interest profile of your influencers to ensure that your message is being amplified and gaining momentum throughout your campaign? Additionally, we can establish a meta layer on top of the campaign to assess sentiment. You'll see in this example a few snapshots from Facebook. The Essie Marino example, someone is borderline obsessive about nail polish. That's an influencer. That's someone you want to engage with. And then on the left, that's not the experience I had when I called customer service last week. So, of course, it's important to leverage listening tools to understand key conversation indicators, the volume, sentiment, positive or negative, and the overall impact of the campaign. Is the conversation happening more in blogs than in chat rooms? More on Cafe Mom than Facebook? You can make adjustments and optimize your campaign accordingly. Finally, in the post campaign, you'll see that blue earned media line continues to accelerate with word of mouth and sharing as you release photos, videos, and articles from the event or program or launch to multiply earned media. At this point, you can also leverage your listening tools to understand perhaps your Twitter channel is performing better than a display campaign and adjust budget accordingly. So we've walked through the social marketing playbook. Now, from the 10,000 foot view, we're going to begin to zoom in to best practices for paid media planning and buying to answer who's responding to my campaign. Can I find more audiences like my best responders? Yes, you can. Smart targeting, multi-channel, cross-informing, enables us to take insights from one channel to inform the next for efficient planning and optimization. In the audience measurement phase, we began to understand our prospect audience at the site level and the impression level. Multi-channel media allows us to look at each channel, display, email, social, to assess how that target audience will be made aware of the program. Is your paid channel performing better than your owned media? What's the earned media look like? And finally, reach optimization. What placements are delivering the highest composition of my target audience? The goal is audience in context at scale. We need to understand the who, what, where, when, why, and how to humanize our target. Who is our influencer? What makes up that dynamic individual? Media placements are a means to an end, a means to understanding your audience attributes. Who are your responders? Are you reaching who you expected? Hone in on the right message and medium for your audience. Where are they congregating? When timing is right, you can maximize the potential for viral sharing, so taking offline activities with online activities, amplifying that buzz. The why, what are the key conversation indicators that the listening tools are communicating? And finally, how, measuring qualitative and quantitative data, sentiment, and competitive mindshare before, during, and after the campaign are critical to success of your program. All right. So I've given you a top line State of the Union and outlined best practices to activate an integrated marketing plan. Now I'll hand off to Mac to take you through how to refine and automate the execution of smart targeting to drive conversion events in Facebook.
Thank you, Candace. I'm going to help you understand or answer the two questions. The first is, how can I take the guesswork out of targeting my audience within Facebook? And the second is, how do I set up an ROI framework? So before we do that, let's just look at the bookends of Facebook. The first is the reach. So through a quick count through the self-serve advertising tool yesterday, we know that there are over 140 million U.S. consumers over the age of 18 years. 45% are men, 55% are female, 32% are married, and 29% are college graduates. I think we all know this by now, but if anybody thinks that Facebook is for kids, that's not the case. The critical mass of the U.S. is spending time on Facebook. The second piece is just about the interests. So the idea here is that not only are these people just sitting behind a computer and interacting, these people are actually out there being social. So they're dating, they're playing sports. They're also more likely to buy things and also share their experiences. So the idea here is that not only is there a large reach within Facebook, but they're sharing a lot about their interests. And as a marketer, based on what Candace told you about audience measurement and knowing who the DNA of or the DNA of your customer, we can begin to take a look at these attributes either on a structured side from a demographic perspective or an unstructured perspective through the interests. So let's put a wireframe behind this for how we're going to approach this great scale and reach within Facebook and target some of these attributes. So from a direct marketing perspective, we all know that we want to reach the right audience with the right message at the right time for the right price. So within Facebook, we know that there's rich demographics available, and there's also a large number of social signals that we can target. With the right message, we also know that Facebook gives us access to a number of great creative formats. And we'll share more details about that in a second. And as well, we can also determine what day of week or time of day we obviously want to target the consumer. And obviously, we have the ability to name our own price. So what we want to do is walk you through some case studies of live campaigns that we've run from PulsePoint to show you how simple targeting can have a big impact in both the response and also the cost of your campaigns. So we'll start with three case studies for demographics first. The first one is gender. So we work with a financial services company for a very generic product. But what we want to know is if through simple gender targeting, if we could increase the performance of their campaign. And we did a simple A-B split. So through this simple, very simple targeting methodology, we were able to increase the click rate by 36% and lower the CPC by 42%, just through a simple A-B split. The next case study that we'll show you here is a little more complex. It's a four-cell test instead of two. But the idea is that we wanted to find out if there were any age groups or buckets within Facebook that would perform at a better rate or on a more efficient basis. So we simply created four buckets, 26 to 35, 36 to 45, 46 to 55, and 56 plus. And we were amazed. We were thrilled to learn that with a targeting technique as simple as this, where we have four cells, we knew that one cell, one bucket, actually created a click lift of 190% versus the other buckets. And from a CPL lift perspective, we basically found that some of the other buckets were twice as expensive, right? So this is very easy to execute. And again, we're showing you the wireframe or the framework for how you can do this as well. The next audience targeting metric or attribute that we looked at was geo. So in this case, we created a state-based targeting grid. And what we did is we knew that this was a national advertiser, and in some regions across the U.S., they had higher brand awareness. So what we wanted to do is make sure that from a spend perspective or targeting perspective, we were leveraging that brand awareness and sentiment in different regions. So in this case, we had over 40 different cells. We lumped some of the smaller states together. But the idea is that we were able to come out with a simple A-B split where we knew that some states performed very well. And in other cases where maybe the brand was not known, the marketing campaign had to work harder to create a response. So 163% CPL lift between the top and the bottom performing states. Okay. One of the other things that we mentioned here is that with the bookends within Facebook is that not only does it provide you with the opportunity to target individuals based on the structured attributes, gender, age, geo, the people that are interacting with Facebook are volunteering rich information about themselves. Let's call them social signals. And Candace mentioned that through the social listening tools, you know, we can pick up on what some of the keywords are that our customers might be interested in or, you know, sharing by Facebook, Twitter, et cetera. So within Facebook, they give us the opportunity to target these rich attributes. So the idea is that if we know who we want to target and when we want to target them based on what they're doing or volunteering, you know, we can create a more relevant campaign. So we have a simple case study for you that shows how, through the targeting of keywords, we were able to create campaign lift. So versus the control, we had a number of different keywords, but in one case, the top performing keyword, and this is something that is you know, evolves, it created a 46% click lift versus the control. And as well, it was more efficient media. Because we were targeting the right audience in the right context or when they were interested, we were able to create a more effective campaign, a more relevant campaign. And we see that in both the performance here and also the cost of our media that was required to pay for the impression. Okay. So from a creative standpoint now, right, moving beyond the demographics and the interests, from a creative standpoint, before we talk about a couple case studies that we have, let's just ground ourselves in the creative units that are available within Facebook. So the first is what is commonly referred to as the generic ad unit. And this is basically just an ad unit that's targeted in a manner that we just shared with you. The second is called a connection ad unit. And the third is a sponsored stories ad unit. What's different about connection ad units and sponsored stories ad units is that they target friends of friends. So as a marketer, if you've got your Facebook page and you're collecting fans or likes, basically what you can do is you can actually target friends of friends. So the idea is that birds of a feather flock together. So in the first case study that we have for creative, you know, through simple multivariate testing, right, you've got your title, the image, and the text. What we were able to do, just through simple A-B testing, right, good direct response marketer, we were able to increase the click lift or the click rate by 47% versus the average. We were also able to create more efficient campaigns from a media cost perspective. So the cost per lead for getting someone to actually click through and like, or in some cases drive back to a page to complete an application or buy something, we created a 64% cost per lead lift. In the next example, we actually took a look at the performance of the creative ad units themselves. And in this case, what you're seeing here is the performance of generic ads versus connection ads versus sponsored ads. So on the left, we are highlighting the click rate of these ad units compared to each other. On the right, we're talking about the conversion rate. And in this case, the conversion was somebody actually seeing the ad and liking it. And what is very clear here is that when you enable the sponsored stories, right, and your call to action is something simple like a like, that the presence of your friend's name showing up in those ad units is very powerful. Where in the click rate, we saw the sponsored stories had a 3.41 X of the generic ads. And it was a little less for connection targeting. And we saw a similar pattern for the actual conversion event, which again was just inviting a consumer to like a campaign. Now the first question here would be why don't all marketers just enable sponsored stories? Well, the fact is that you need to have a fan base to do this. So what we recommend is obviously having your hybrid a plan where you have a steady balance of generic ads going out and creating response or creating your fans and using that DNA info that Candace referred to so that you're attracting the most profitable customer, right? Not just inviting anybody into your fan environment, but then also leveraging that birds of a feather flock together mentality through the sponsored stories. Okay, so it's a couple case studies on the creative. The next one we wanted to share with you is just day of week and time of day. So in this case, what we were able to do for a couple of our advertisers is understand the impact of the conversion when we showed the ads at different times. So in the case here of day of the week, through day testing, we were able to see that some days performed better than others. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in this case had a click lift of 22%. And obviously, because people are converting from a cost per lead, which was the end event goal in this case, we were able to lower the cost for the media. Additionally, with time of day and looking at different day parts, we were able to see its impact on when people were actually clicking and, more importantly, when people were actually converting. And this is very important. If you have a simple call to action or a fan generation campaign, those calls to action don't take much time or effort. But if you're an advertiser looking to create a call to action that goes back to your site and potentially there's a lengthier sign-up process that's involved, we start to see a bigger delta between the day of week and time of day metrics. All right, so let's put this all together. Our objective, obviously, is to target, the right audience with the right creative at the right time at the right price. We've shown you 8 case studies, and we're just reminding you of 7 here. But the fact is that all attributes are not created equal. And again, for the direct response folks that are out there who employ multivariate testing, you probably know what list segments within your CRM file work the best and why. That's really the same type of methodology that we're proposing here, is that if you know what the performance lift is when you target certain attributes, such as gender, age, day part, et cetera, you can start to have a better understanding of what you might be willing to pay for various impressions. So let's revisit our wireframe. Right? So through some of these case studies, we've started to kind of fill it out through the A-B testing that we've employed. So let's say for the right audience, we want to target females between the ages of 36 and 45 in the Northeast. From an interest standpoint, the keywords are saying outdoor sports, travel, et cetera. So the idea here would be, what price would we be willing to pay for an impression that's targeted to these attributes, right? And let's assume it's a $50 cost per lead if we're looking to actually create, some sort of response. Obviously, if it's a like, there could be, certain value that's associated with a like, especially if you have a social relationship management program employed. But the idea here is that we want to right price the media. So if we try and go too far down the funnel where we're trying to get the right audience, the right creative, the right time, the CPC or the reach could be limited. The reach could be limited, and it could be very expensive. So what we're trying to show you here is a wireframe for a funnel that suggests if I know through certain A/B testing that females 36 to 45 are most likely to respond, maybe I'm willing to pay $1.50 CPC. But as I layer on more successful attributes, then obviously I'll be willing to pay more for that impression because I know the quality of the like or the quality of the response is going to justify it. So again, what I've tried to share with you here is a methodology for testing your paid media strategy within Facebook, and also how to create an ROI wireframe that you can fill out based on your audience and your own like or acquisition goals. I'm going to hand it back to Candace now, and she's going to help you understand with this customer DNA how we can amplify this this information and the reach of this campaign outside of Facebook.
Great. Thanks, Mac. So Mac just walked us through how to approach a Facebook paid media campaign to ascertain who the right audience is, what the right message is, right time of day, and right price for that audience. Now let's talk about how we can leverage those Facebook insights to verify and validate responders in real time across media channels, display, email, video, mobile media. We can broaden the scale of high-performing ads in Facebook out to the open web and beyond, cross-informing other channels with insights from each to optimize for added reach and engagement. So our approach to reach optimization is to find passionate segments of the same audience at scale using lookalike and act-alike modeling. A lookalike speaks to what Mac referred to earlier as structured attributes in Facebook: gender, age, geography, education, workplace, relationship, sexual preference, and language. We can discover additional consumers raising their hand in support of your brand that look like each other at scale, multi-channel. Similarly, act-alikes may not look like each other, but they may have similar interests, activities, music, TV preferences. They may have the same group affiliations, connections. They may have similar status updates. Aggregated insights mapped to display in other channels to reveal lookalike and act-alike targets who share the beat of your brand's pulse. So here's a multi-channel ecosystem for brands. We discussed earlier that placing media is a means to an end. It's a means to understanding your audience. So we'll buy media in Facebook and drive to your landing page. As we discussed earlier in the presentation, on your landing page could be a site measurement pixel that's garnering insights about your lookalikes and act-alikes that we can then scale to inform multi-channel smart targeting, hand raisers across the different channels that you see pictured here, mobile, display, social media. And then we can verify that the audience we reached was in fact our influencers and drive them back to Facebook and your owned media properties. Here's your paid, owned, and earned approach, multi-channel at scale. So let's wrap it up. What did we learn today? We've learned that audience measurement and social listening tool sets activate an integrated marketing plan. Choreographed paid and owned content releases create a multiplier effect for earned media. Audience measurement is the memory of who engaged with which media in what context. Some recommendations and key takeaways that we can leave you with. Make your social media campaigns work harder and smarter by creating momentum for your message. Insights from one channel can inform the next, as we've described from Facebook to other channels, with efficient planning and campaign monitoring. Leverage site-side measurement to build a profile of your engaged audience and verify who converted or engaged with your brand over time. Amplify earned media by scaling verified audience segments. Aggregate insights map to display in other channels to reveal lookalikes and act-alike targets who share the beat of your brand's pulse. And now a message from our sponsor, Max.
We're going to open it up to questions, but obviously we want to thank everybody for the time. And if you like the methodology that we proposed here and you want to learn more about your customers in any silo, we're here to help. And also from a wireframe standpoint, for a paid Facebook media strategy, if you want some help crafting a wireframe, we're here to help as well. So just reach out to us and ask.
Absolutely. So I'm going to hand off to Lana McGillbray, Vice President of Marketing for PulsePoint, to run through some questions from the audience. Lana?
Thank you very much, Candace. Thank you, Mac, and thank you to the attendees that joined us today. We had over 150 people on the phone, and we have a handful of questions. If you still have a question and you have not had the opportunity to ask it, please do use the Q&A area of the console to ask a question, and we are going to start fielding the questions out to Mac and to Candace right now. The first question in from the audience from REI. Regarding audience measurement, could you please walk through options available?
Great. Thank you, Lana. This is Mac. I'll take that. So there's really two bookends to the audience measurement tools that are out there. The first are tools like Quantcast that are using self-reported info, where it's very simple. You can place a pixel on any part of your page, and it will start to give you insights into what the audience looks like. On the other bookend, you do have audience insight tools such as Pulse Audience, which uses verified attributes, and Candace mentioned that there are over 1,500. So depending on your budget and your passion for data, both of them will work. The idea is that the more verified info that you can use to build the profile of your best customer, and use that as the yardstick across all your efforts, you know, the more accurate your information is going to be. But those are the two bookends, and there's probably a number of providers in between those two bookends.
Great. We have another question in from the Bobcat Company, and we have a similar question in from Opteros. And the question is, what is a click lift and a CPL lift?
Great. This is Mac again. So thank you for your question. With regards to click lift and CPL lift, really what we're looking at is the index. So as we execute the A-B tests, we basically end up creating a control. And then the click lift is really the percentage of a click above the control. And with a CPL lift, sorry if that was confusing. The idea is the same, that we're basically creating efficiencies. So if the average cost per lead is $10 and we've executed a campaign that enabled it to get to $5, then basically we've created 100% lift. Right, so it's kind of a 1 over X relationship. But if you have more questions about the methodology, would be happy to share it with you. But ideally, in these cases, we're normalizing data and then looking at any of the performance lifts or decline.
Great, thank you. I have another question in from a participant who wishes to remain anonymous. The idea of cross-informed media is compelling. Could you walk us through a case-based example of how this works?
Sure. This is Candace. We have an example of a case study with a CPG advertiser where we placed media in Facebook to drive to an application, a Facebook application, And when a consumer downloads a Facebook application, we have access to certain insights, such as likes and interests, that can help us inform other channel buys. So in this particular use case, we took the highest indexing likes and interests, and we bought media. We essentially bought placements in display in the highest indexing content categories. We used likes and interests as a proxy for content consumption in display media. And the campaign performed at 2x the click rate of an average campaign.
Great. Thank you, Candace. And just working through some more of the questions here, we've answered many of them. A question in from Hilton, what is the best way to get social media budget?
Hi, this is Mac again. What we've found in working with our Fortune 1000 partners is that there obviously needs to be an ROI. So I think we're beyond what our experience is that we're beyond the days of experimenting with social. So the idea in the wireframe that we provided is if you have a certain audience that you're looking for and you know your cost to reach them in other channels, you know, starting to put a wireframe together to answer the question, you know, can I reach them more efficiently or effectively through Facebook begins to open up the ROI dialogue. And then from there, there are simple data points that, you know, we can help make available to help you estimate your prospect universe within Facebook. So the idea is that we can begin to put a wireframe together that says, hey, look, you know, this is where our audience is. This is how many there are. We know if we're going through display or other channels, even like direct mail, that it typically costs us X to reach them. We know that the response rate is Y and the cost per order is, you know, whatever. So we take that same approach with Facebook and paid media to create a similar wireframe. And at the end of the day, what we want to coach our clients on is, you know, finding out, you know, if there is potential within Facebook to acquire new customers or influence them. If so, what's the reach, right? And the idea is that from a budget standpoint, you know, we all want to get the most customers or the most audience for our fixed budget. So those are the types of dialogues that we entertain, and I think to go to a CFO or your VP of marketing and begin to open this conversation, that having a wireframe like that is the most effective way to constructively build a conversation around it.
Great. We have another question in from the Institute on Religion and Democracy. What are some good ways to increase retention after the campaign?
Great question. Thank you. I think the reason why I like that question is it doesn't just start with showing an impression. It really speaks to the lifetime value of a customer. So we're not in this to, you know, show an impression and you know, not have any residual value from it. So the idea here is that if you are interacting with your customers within Facebook, so somebody likes your page, you know, the value of that like is determined by what you do with it. So there are great tools out there. ViTrue and Buddy Media come to mind. Where they can help you message to your customers through the Facebook news feed. So I think if you're going to start a like strategy, knowing what that next piece is that's connected to it is very, very important. When you pull the camera back, what's also important to know is where does this Facebook audience sit within the greater context of your entire customer base? So what we're excited about is some of our customers are coming to us and saying, hey, I want to better understand what percentage of my audience is engaged with Facebook so that they can start to have an idea as to how much of investment they need to make in it. I think for one client that we're working with or discussing a campaign with, they were looking to target females 35 years and older. And what we did is we looked at the U.S. Census count by some of the top DMAs and compared that reach within Facebook and saw that, you know, Facebook was only reaching 45% of that target audience. So to come back to the lifetime value idea is that, you know, the Facebook fan is what you make of it. There's tools out there to kind of continue that dialogue. but you should also understand what percentage of the Facebook reach is basically within your customer base, and obviously adjust your both your acquisition and retention campaigns accordingly.
Great, thank you, Mac. I think we have time for about two more questions. A question in from Garrigan Lyman. What listening tools, if any, do you recommend?
It's Mac again. There are a number of good ones out there. I think it really depends what you want to do with the insight. So as Candace mentioned, if you're looking for simple listening tools that help you understand what people are saying in the Facebook channels and Twitter or on the blogs, there's some good ones. We work with a tool called Buzz Manager that works very well to do that. There are other broader tools. So if you're starting to look beyond social listening and actually want to have more of a customer service element connected to it, I believe tools like Hootsuite help you do that. And that's obviously a booming industry right now. But I think from a social listening standpoint, we like Buzz Manager. And if your plan is to kind of use this as a more of a customer service tool, there's probably about at least 10 to 12 right now that are the well known in the marketplace. So without giving names, hopefully that gives you an idea of how to at least start the search.
Great. And for the final question, I'm actually going to combine two so we can get two of those answered so people aren't left feeling bad. I think they work well together. The question is, to combine it, other than Facebook, and I think this maps back to a question that's asking about B2B versus B2C. Other than Facebook, what are some of the other social options we should be considering? And that question comes in from Green Deals Online and Shop Farm.
Yeah, so I'm happy to answer that question. This is Candace. So there are promoted products on Twitter that you can use. LinkedIn has social advertising. StumbleUpon is an interesting site in that it allows users to discover content serendipitously. And it essentially can point to any URL, so a YouTube video. YouTube also has promoted video options. And there are more, but I think those are the top considerations for now in terms of how to leverage your media in different social channels.
Great, thank you. I think that's it for the questions. If you had a question and you did not get your answer today, On24 will be sending out the files from the webinar and some communications so you can get back in contact with either Candace or Mac or a member of the team that can help you. Thank you for your time today, and Candace and Mac, thank you for presenting the webinar.
Thank you,
everyone. Thanks, everyone. This is Alexis again. Just want to sign off really quickly on behalf of PulsePoint and Retail Online Integration. Thank you as well for attending today's webinar, and be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archived and upcoming events. Please also just take a minute to fill out the brief feedback survey that will appear on your screen next if you have a second. We'd be really grateful. Your feedback does influence the webinars that we bring to you in the future. So thanks again for attending, and I hope to see you at the next ROI webinar. Have a great day.